This is WILO Frankfurt.
Hi, I'm Michelle with Simple Time Antiques and Primitives, where you can surround yourself with the things you love. Antiques, home decor, and much more. We can help turn your house into a home. Walk into a simpler time of candles, home accents, furniture, and more, all in a warm atmosphere. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 5. Simple Time Antiques and Primitives, the aroma of home. Half block west of the Frankfurt Square on Clinton Street. And remember to always surround yourself with the people and the things you love.
Our members often ask us, is this loan too small? The answer is probably not. From holiday loans to get through the Christmas season, to braces, guitars, or even that big screen TV you've been wanting. Here at Encompass, we work with you on loans both big and small. So stop by or apply online today. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Federally insured by NCUA, online at EncompassCU.org.
After surgery, getting back on your feet isn't always easy. Milner Community Healthcare is here to support you throughout your recovery process. We offer the perfect environment for you to heal and get stronger. A speedy recovery and returning our patients home as quickly as possible are our primary goals. We're honored to be a quality-rated nursing facility and have served our community since 1971. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare for short-term rehabilitation.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, along with ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Our in-studio guest is Brian Tanner. Brian is from Spaceport, Indiana, President and Chairman. Brian, good morning. How
are
you doing?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. How's the world of Spaceport these days?
It's great. Things are moving along since the last time we talked. So it's fast-paced, but a lot of fun. A lot of good things have happened.
Let's go back to when you guys went back for the youth camp and you had your launch down at the hot dog festival. Talk about how that went, the final thing, and also you had an adult camp since then.
Right. Well, the in-space camps, which happen every summer, are a lot of fun for students. And in fact, this year was a great opportunity to have Frankfurt kids, a lot of people from the region, come and experience what we do as part of outreach and space exploration. So it was a good program. We ended up the final day of camp at the Hot Dog Festival and did a launch at 11 o'clock. The kids did a great job, sent a balloon to the edge of space with their experiments, and were able to then retrieve it a few hours later, bring it back, and take a look at what their experiments went through. So it was a great time, and we were really glad to get it off right at 11. You were there, I think, and watched it. So it was a great experience for them, and many of those kids had never done anything like that before. So a lot of excitement, I think.
Do we plan to do another one next year, if possible?
Yep, we've got two camps coming up again next year in July. In fact, registration's open for that now. If they go to spaceportindiana.com, they can sign up for the camps. And we have actually two camps this coming year. One is for 8 to 13-year-olds, and then we have an older camp for 14 to 17 because so many people wanted to come to camp, the kids were too old. So we opened that up for older groups.
How did your adult space camp go?
It didn't. We had really bad weather. It poured down rain that Saturday, so we delayed it, didn't have the chance to do it. But we're still going to try, I think, to get one in yet before the weather changes. If not, we'll certainly do it in the spring.
Any ideas to when you might try to go ahead and do it?
I don't. I haven't looked at the schedule to see how that's going to work. It's so weather-dependent, and now things change so much. And, of course, our atmosphere changes. As we go from April through October, the upper winds aloft are very different than they are from October through April.
Mm-hmm.
So it changes where things go, and that makes it a little more challenging sometimes. And plus the ground weather changes a bit. So if we can sneak one in where we know we've got a good pattern, we'll certainly give it a try.
Well, it's going to be 92 tomorrow, so it hasn't changed too much
well,
yet.
I know. Isn't that strange for Indiana? But it's good that we're going to have the great weather. I'm hoping the farmers get their crops in.
That's only going to be like the upper 60s, though, on Saturday. So it's going to change that much that quick.
It does change quickly.
As it does quite a bit. How are things going out at the airport for you guys?
They're great. I'll have to tell you, this has been a great community for us to get engaged with. I think Alan Dunn and the rest of the board members out there have been great to work with. And I think for us, too, it goes to the extent of understanding the character of the airport board that you have. Those people are working hard for the community, and they're trying to do great things. And I think the terminal addition, for example, what that means to the airport, us being able to be there is going to be great. And I think it just speaks highly to the real character of the people we work with.
Now, where are you going to build that? Where are you going to have that building at out there?
Well, if you go just slightly west of the runway, you're going to see what is now a bean field, and that's okay. Us. It's 22 acres, and soon it will look very different as we start to build. As you know, there's two buildings that are going there. One is the Spaceport Exploration Center, which will be about 40,000 square feet of just amazing interactive opportunities for people of all ages, a real destination to be. Not static like a museum you typically think of at all. We're going to have very high definition, very tall curtain screen, LED, interactive technology, along with aeroponics and hacker space and rocketry and high altitude ballooning and just all kinds of activities for students within that facility. And then right next to that, probably the most iconic thing that we'll have will be the Mars Research Colony, which is going to look just like a Mars colony would look if you went there to live, with about 5,000 to 7,000 square feet.
What you know, it seems like the I'm drawing a blank on the word I want to use. The you know, the interest in Mars. That's not the word I wanted to use, but it's for the purpose of what I'm going to ask,
okay.
It's going to be fun. But you know, the interest in Mars right now. That seems like it isn't going away anytime soon, is it?
No, it won't. And I think, you know, as humankind, we always have a need to explore. I think it's in our human nature. I think God put that in us to always search for things. And Mars is certainly the next opportunity to understand another planet within our solar system. We've been to the moon, and we're certainly going to go back there. I think as going to Mars, that'll be part of that structure. And it also gives us a great opportunity for future generations to really look at the new technologies and the new opportunities that exist in just in careers alone. You know, so I think that is all just part of a human desire to just find new things.
Should experienced astronauts be the first to go out to Mars, or are you okay with what people are doing as far as, you know, the actual individuals going out there?
Well, you know, it's certainly not going to be the you know, current astronauts that are going. I mean, certainly I'd love to jump on board and go myself, you know, but it's going to be a next generation of kids, elementary and middle school students that you're looking at today, possibly one from Frankfurt, are going to be the kids that make the next jump, whether it's back to the lunar surface or onto Mars. And we don't know who those people are going to be, what they'll look like, where they'll come from. Just like we didn't know anything about Neil Armstrong or Alan Shepard or Wally Schirra, any of those people. They were unknowns to us, but became a part of our permanent history.
Okay, we got a caller here for you. Caller, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi, Brian Tanner. How are you? Russ Casper here.
Hi, Russ. How are you?
Good. I have to share a story with you. Just this last weekend, we had an open house out at the Prairie Grass Observatory, and Mars was there. Wasn't the greatest seeing for Mars, but we did see the polar ice cap and also the highlands.
Mm.
There was not a sandstorm on Mars, so we enjoyed that.
Oh, what a great view. Well, I'll tell you, the observatory, you know, Ken, that was part of our camp this year. We got a chance to get people out to the observatory, and what a great asset. And I'm sure that partnership's going to grow, Russ, as time goes on. I mean, what a great thing to have. As we look at our building, you know, we're looking at the possibility of a planetarium, high-definition theater opportunities to see some really cool new movies and videos about exploration. And just to have that asset next door to us, really, right as a neighbor almost.
Yeah, I think the total is the sum of the parts. And you, when you stop and think of it, proximity to 65, proximity to Purdue University, the synergy between Prairie Grass Observatory and your spaceport, coordinated city and county government officials, a chamber of commerce that is looking outward and pulling together. Kim Stevens was the president of the state event. I guess actually Clinton County is going to be featured on the cover this next year of the whole festival guide.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really cool.
We're going to have a cover.
I know Kim does a great job, and certainly she did with the Hot Dog Festival as well.
I think we're getting a perfect storm here.
It almost seems it, right. And you know, you lead to a good point that we have been really talking about recently as we travel, and that's about community. And, you know, we're not sending a single individual to Mars. We're going to send a few people there. And they're going to be relying on each other. There's a dependency, but there's also an independence that are involved in that kind of colonization.
Yep.
And I think when you come back and look at our own community here, it's very important to understand that the things that we do well in an Earthbound technology, we have a tendency to take with us and do really well when we go somewhere else. And as we look at journeys, you know, we're a faith-based organization. We've talked about that before, that we're really concerned about the journey. Mm-hmm. Not as evangelicals, but we're just faith-based people. And what we create and the way we improve our own community by making it possible to see all these different skill sets, hard and soft, whatever they are, we take those things with us wherever we go as human beings. And so we really look to build the community here first as a step to what we build later on. And I often tell people, you know, if you ever get really sick, would you rather be able to stay within your community and get the care you need, or would you rather try to travel a half a state away or two states away to get the care you need? There are so many skill sets and talents that exist within Frankfort and within Indiana that as we improve and build on those communities, whether you're going to work at NHK, a great company in town, whether you're at Glover's Ice Cream, wherever you are, you know, we all depend on each other as human beings. And our faith travels with us when we travel to a distant planet, just like it travels with us when we get in the car every morning. So we're building a community network that then goes with us everywhere we travel as human beings.
We have a plaque at the observatory in the warming room that Goodman Funeral Home donated. It's a bronze plaque, and it says, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord," mm-hmm. Psalm 19:1. So that was put up there in 2001, and the way things are pulling together, it's pretty exciting.
Well, God is in it for us, I think, as He is for all people. You know, all we have to do is look for the right things that we should be doing, and if we do those right things, then we're blessed. And I think for us, all the people that I've met so far in the community have been outstanding people. And the character, as I said, of the airport board, Shan Sheridan, what they're doing with the Iron Block building and this new entrepreneurial center they want to have just feeds into what we want to do to try to bring people up with new skill sets. And we need to really be behind what he does.
Well, let us know how we can help. And bless you, brother.
Well, bless you, too. And thanks for calling.
All right.
Take care, Russ. Anybody wants to talk to Brian, 659-3338 or 1-800-447-4463. I want to kind of backtrack for a second.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that you're doing out at the airport, what was the reason it kind of drew you guys here in the first place to want to build a new facility out here?
Well, you know, we try to look at places where regionally we can be most effective as a point of tourism and bringing people into the facilities. And, you know, we're kind of right between Chicago and also to the south where the Creation Museum is and the Ark Encounter and those kinds of things. And so for us, the region made a lot of sense. But really what secured it for me was when I began to talk to people here and I saw their heart for growth, what they desire to do with their community, how they wanted to prop people up. You know, I've never met the mayor here yet, but I'm looking forward to that day. And I see what he does with infrastructure and how he's tried to build a community, and I think he has a great heart for that. And I see it in Shan and Alan and Mike Nichols and all the different people that I've met, Eric Frank out at Performance Ag. I meet these people and I think, wow, they're all dedicated to something better and bigger. And I think that's what really secured it for us.
Also, I think the other thing I think that really, and for people who don't know it yet, this airport board is very, very good and they're very forward thinking. They want to make sure that this gets off and they want to make sure that the airport becomes a very viable force in this community.
Oh, I think that's true. And, you know, there's also there's a huge sense of transparency with us and our relationship with the board. And, you know, we are very intent to see that the airport does well when we do well. To me, it's a hand-in-glove relationship. We want to do well as a spaceport. We want to bring people here, but we want the airport to fare well also. And so for us, it's really a partnership, a working partnership.
You know, I think this airport is just on the verge of becoming a very big and very good spot to be around.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I can remember not too many years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, where there was a point at which we were losing about 90 airports a week in this country. Aviation's taken a decline. But here's something that we're bringing to the airport today. We haven't even started the construction of our buildings yet, but we are already bringing a Civil Air Patrol chapter here. We're already talking with Commander Stanley of the Farrier Squadron. Mm-hmm. We've talked with him a lot and negotiated that to bring that to the airport. We're going to open an Experimental Aircraft Association chapter so people can get involved in aviation. The other thing that we're going to do that I think is going to be really a lot of fun, so many people, so many young kids in our camp wanted to get involved in flying because it's a natural transition. You think, well, if I get in aviation and I get into space, I can do these things. Yeah. Or just be an aviator and never do anything in the space industry. But we're going to bring in the opportunity to have greatly reduced costs to learn to fly. It's about $220 an hour right now if you want to get your private pilot's license, and we're going to work to bring that down to about $80 or $85 an hour for people who are 15 to 21 years old, a little bit more if they're 21 to 30, trying to get them into the industry because right now the barrier is it costs so much to learn to fly, I never do it. And if we can get them in to fly and get them a license, they'll support an industry. They'll buy airplanes and they'll buy headsets and flight suits. It really makes a lot more sense. So, and plus, they're just great opportunities, whether you're flying a drone or you're sitting in a seat.
Have you had any contact with Purdue yet on maybe working with them as far as the flying part is concerned or anything that they do over there?
No, we haven't. I mean, we're open to all the universities and colleges. We want to work with everyone. We haven't reached out to that. I think a lot of commonality. I see Purdue do things now with their Purdue Global approach to online learning. I happen to be a huge advocate of technical and vocational education and drone piloting and private piloting. You know, the FAA sets all the rules for how we learn to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best place in my mind to learn to fly and really learn the skill set is at your local airports and with organizations like us because it costs a lot less. And I know Purdue does a really great job with aviation. There are other schools, Vincennes, that does. But that's a very high cost for people to get a private pilot's license. And so I look at it and say, you know, if you really think that's what you want to do with your life, let's find a way to get you in at a lower cost because there's a huge demand for pilots right now. And if you have the skill sets, if you have all the certifications that you need to go to work for Republic Airlines or whatever, all they care about are what the FAA requirements are. That people can fly a heavy commercial multi-engine complex vehicle, and you can learn to do that at your local airport.
Okay, and we're going to go ahead and take a break for right now. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. We'll be right back.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Want to make your yard the wow yard of the neighborhood? Then call Jeff Hardesty and let him create a landscape masterpiece for you. His crews are accredited or certified in the landscaping industry. Not just a bunch of guys with a truck and a shovel. Real landscapers, you know what I mean. For quality installation, innovative experience and design, it's always Hardesty Landscaping. Don't hire another landscaper until you talk to Jeff. Call him at 242-6015. That's 242-6015.
No one knows how to help you say I love you like Sparrows Florist and Greenhouse. Sparrows has all the advantages of an attached greenhouse and the largest florist gift showroom in the area. This means gifts galore to say I love you just the way you want. Sparrows will even custom make your love message with hand-painted and country craft items. Sparrows wants to help you say I love you, thank you, good luck, congrats, or whatever else needs to be said just the right way with flowers. Call today for delivery today, 654-5544, or stop by Sparrows Greenhouse and Large Showroom.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.
Welcome back to Party Line. Our sponsors are Wealthy Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Our in-studio guest is Brian Tanner of Spaceport, Indiana. Brian, we were talking off-air. You know, you mentioned the first part of the first part of this. You've got Civil Air Patrol wanting to come in, and also EAA wants to come in also. Talk a little bit about what each of those entities do.
I will. Civil Air Patrol is part of the U.S. Air Force. It's an auxiliary organization. Actually started just a few days before the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and actually became part of a anti-submarine reconnaissance group, and actually located and I think perhaps destroyed one submarine as part of that effort. But after World War II, the U.S. Air Force was born, and the Civil Air Patrol became a benevolent organization. The Air Force decided that it wouldn't be an armed organization anymore or war fighting, and so it became a benevolent organization, and it does a few things. It does aerospace education. It does emergency services. A lot of people don't understand that as part of our homeland, our domestic homeland security, CAP, Civil Air Patrol, is one of the leading efforts we have in homeland security. They do probably 95% of all the search and rescues that get done in Indiana as part of the Indiana wing. The state police find someone missing, they call Civil Air Patrol. And there are young students who start at age 12 through 21, and then there are senior members, like I am, as a deputy commander, that basically just educate kids and do great job. It's a great moral, ethical, character kind of developing organization. So it also provides the opportunity to be in aircraft, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Now, the Experimental Aircraft Association, totally different organization. We're actually starting a brand new chapter called the Spaceport Exploration Chapter. And it's involved in aerospace education. Kids get a chance, and adults, to actually work on aircraft, build them from scratch, or work on restoration projects. But they also offer great opportunities for Young Eagles flights and Discovery flights to actually put kids in the seat. And the other thing they do that's really cool is if they decide to go get their pilot's license, EAA will pay for an hour of instruction. And if you take your FAA exam and you pass it, they'll reimburse you the cost of $150 to take the test. So really proactive groups.
Now, the CAP group's going to come from Delphi, right?
They're in Camden.
Oh, they're in Camden, right.
Yep, they're in Camden, and they want to come over here to the airport, and we're really glad that they're going to come.
But in hearing the description of what they do, that's an organization that seems like it's active all the time.
Oh, always. And of course, it's a more military style. They wear uniforms. They get rank and grade. They drill. They do physical fitness. But they have all these other educational opportunities. And both organizations we just talked about have been in existence for more than 70 years. So really a strong heritage.
Now, when do you officially think that they're going to be over here at the airport?
I would look at after the first of the year. Okay. But if people want to contact us, they want to get involved with the Civil Air Patrol or be part of our EAA chapter, they certainly can do that. I'll throw the number out if you want.
Sure, go ahead.
It's 765-606-1512. Or they can send us an email at contactus@spaceportindiana.com. We're going to throw some stuff on the airport sign, too, to let them know. But, you know, they can certainly start now expressing interest, and we'll be ready, I'm sure, after the first of the year.
Besides those two organizations, has anybody else approached you guys, or have you guys went out and approached people about coming to this airport?
Oh, absolutely. I can't tell you the number of emails and phone calls and people that I'm dealing with on a daily basis about this project. And I have to tell you that as part of our advisory board that we've put together to help us with the direction of this, we already have MIT. We already have Harvard University. I'm trying to think of the others. I mean, there are some really amazing people that are coming to the table to be part of what we're doing in Frankfurt, if you can imagine. So already the interest, Mars Farm, which is an organization that's creating how we grow food systems, how we grow food in space and how we'll colonize. They're in St. Louis. They'll be coming here and being part of that. So the economic draw, in addition to the tourism draw, I think will be great.
Do you think maybe a year or two, maybe it's already happened, I don't know yet, maybe the schools are going to start taking an interest in what you guys are doing, and maybe you guys will be able to coordinate some programs back and forth?
Oh, absolutely. We do now. Keep in mind, we've been around for a decade now, and we go to schools all the time. In fact, we're traveling down. We've got two or three different visits going on in Milan. We're in Tipton. We've been in Meconaqua. All these schools around Indiana and other states. So we've been very involved in that. And we're hoping that schools will want to come visit us as field research to just kind of support all the things they're learning in the classroom. We're going to have opportunities for educators to come in and learn things with us that they can take back to the classroom. So absolutely, that's part of our program.
What, in your mind, what is the future for Spaceport?
Alan Dunn and I laugh about this a lot because I think we're both just geeky enough. We like this stuff, you know. But there'll be a time when we'll be able to launch vehicles from Frankfurt. We'll never get into a manned system because we're never going to launch a Saturn V-style rocket
right.
from here, as spectacular as that might be. But 50-foot sounding rockets that send payloads into space, small CubeSats, that, by the way, we could easily go to any of the local schools in middle or high school, have them work for 8 months on a CubeSat, and then turn around and launch that into space. We're already doing it with EdSats, where they're inter-atmospheric satellites kids can watch. We launched one from camp, and the kids dialed in every day, and the last report we got was over Slovakia, and it'll travel around the world. So those are the kinds of things that I believe really push our youth and get their portfolio ready. You talked off-air with me just a minute ago there about how you can run this whole station with your eyes closed. You've done it. It's your experience. You're good at it.
Close. I don't think we can do it yet, but we're getting there.
So, look, one of the things we do right now is we have a tendency to take academia. We take academics. We take a degree. And it's really a substitution for young people because they don't have any experience. And what we really need to do is change that, the way that dynamic looks. If we can start with 8-year-olds and we can start to build portfolios, give them experiences and something they can put in their backpack, then we start them at a younger age with experience already. And what we're finding out in this country is it's not working really well to just say, okay, well, you're 22 years old, so we're going to give you a degree and that's going to substitute experience. What you find out when you get older is the farther away we get from our degree and the more experience we have, the less important the degree becomes and the more important experience was. And unfortunately, when you get to be in your 50s, you've gathered all this knowledge, you know, and you think, wow, it took me so long to do that. So what we're trying to really do is re-educate and retrain people who have already had a career and maybe want to just improve their life, but help those kids gain knowledge that they can use earlier in their careers.
Do you also see, with your guys' help, a renewed interest in the STEMs, you know, like the math, the science, and all those kind of things? Have you seen a renewed interest in those programs, do you think?
We do, and it's all in the way it's presented. You know, first of all, there's no accrediting body for STEM. There's no national organization that says this is what STEM looks like. Schools, organizations take on STEM in their own way. But what we find out is the more interactive it is and the more engaging it is, the better it is for students. I think some schools do it really well, others don't. I've actually run into students before, which is disheartening sometimes. I'll say, do you have a STEM program? And they're like, yeah, you know, we get an hour a week, and we call it sucky STEM because it's not what it should be. And then there's other schools that the kids love what's going on. To standardize it would be great, but on the other hand, what we do, we love the opportunity for kids to blow things up, wreck things, catastrophic deconstruction, you know, this whole thing, because they learn from that. And so STEM is on the rise, but it's not standardized. And so we need to fix that problem.
Do you sense that the State Board of Education will ever get to the point where they're going to make it, that's going to become like a mandatory part of education?
I think it will, but I think the more dynamic opportunity for kids is when their families at home choose organizations and choose opportunities for their kids to get involved in STEM, if we're talking about youth, because families have to be a part of education. I often have a lot of empathy for teachers and school systems because they do a great job. They're trying their best. But we've got to get families back into the idea that they're a part of an education and they have to work with their kids every night. So I think the success from STEM will come from more parent engagement. And I think that's why we reach into the older segment, you know, when we talk about STEM. Our organization will take you from 8 to 80 and create mentor and protege programs and so forth. So I don't think it's just school alone that's going to be necessary.
Okay. For those people who don't know that much about Spaceport Indiana, talk a little bit about Spaceport, how they can get a hold of you, and a little bit about yourself there.
Sure. Well, we're part of the International Spaceports Council. We actually started back in the very early 2000s with an idea that we were going to create the commercial space industry, and that's what we did. There's about 23 spaceports around the world, several countries, and we are the on and off ramp for space exploration and discovery now. That things that NASA used to do, we do. So NASA's kind of doing the Hubble telescope kind of stuff, and we're doing transportation, exploration, planetary study. And so people will become more familiar with the space commercial space industry over time if they aren't already. So that's what our organizations do. So to contact us, if you want to be involved either as a volunteer, maybe you're looking at a career opportunity with us as we open, you can reach us by calling 765-606-1512. You can email us at contactus@spaceportindiana.com. We maintain an office in the old terminal building right now at the airport. We're in and out there a lot, but if we're around, stop and see us and engage. And just pay attention as we put things on the sign or we work on the website. We'll have all kinds of activities going on that I think are an introductory way to come see the airport and see us.
Okay, anything else you want to add before I turn you loose?
Well, you know, I just really appreciate, you know, God is in this for me as he is. You know, I think everybody in our community as we do great things. And, you know, my life has been blessed in a lot of ways by being able to have this over a decade. And you know, I've probably talked, but, you know, I get married on November 10th this year. And so, you know, I think God is good all the time. And he has done a lot in my personal life. He's done a lot in my professional life. And so, as people become engaged with us and they interact with us, one of the things we want them to understand is we care about what they do and how successful they are, and we'll always be that way. So whatever it is, whatever reason they want to engage with us, we want them there. We're interested in how they do. And I think for us and for Frankfurt, that's going to be a huge draw for people who want to come and see us and see this community, is that aspect of caring and outreach that we're going to continue to have.
Okay, sounds good. Brian, thanks much. Greatly appreciate it. Look forward to having you here on a monthly basis.
All right, well, we'll see you next month.
Okay, you take good care.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for the show today. Our sponsors are Welty Custom Exteriors, Encompass Credit Union, Susan Casper State Farm Insurance, Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Simple Time Antiques, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Everybody, have a great day. Take good care of yourselves, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO. Join us again tomorrow morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, then again at 5 p.m. for the Party Line replay. Party Line is a presentation of Casper Media, keeping you connected for over 60 years. Nobody talks more about Clinton County than WILO. Give you time.